You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, this is Steve Sciarippa, better known as Bobby Bacala, and the Michael K. Show starts now, right here on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, do me a favor. Don't screw this thing up, would you?
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, June 22nd, 2021. I'm being dyslexic, yeah.
Wow.
It's that sort of show right off the bat. Hi, everybody. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours, the other 19 and a half. Your responsibility. How's everybody doing? As the show opened, it started to pour here at Yankee Stadium. Still, I hear it's supposed to be clear tonight, so Yankees Royals should be on, and the Mets and the Braves should be on. How's everybody doing?
Good. Hopefully the rain holds off here, because I don't think the Mets can take any more doubleheaders and makeups and all that, so it would be nice for them to go out there and play some baseball and hit. They are not hitting right now.
Well, they split again. It's hard to sweep doubleheaders, although the statistics tell you you could sweep them just as easily as you could split them. So they split them twice, and I want to start off with that first game yesterday, if you guys don't mind. Obviously, we'll get into the Islanders shellacking in depth as we move along, and we'll have the new Rangers head coach, Gerard Gallant, on with us at 3:30. We're giving away money this hour and in the 5 o'clock hour as well. But we were on the air when this happened, and I've given it a lot of thought. And I think that searching Jacob DeGrom the way you did, it's just such a bad look for baseball. This guy's never been suspected of doing anything. He doesn't even have a high spin rate. Why would you do it? Why would you try to besmirch one of the brightest lights in your sport? Why would you try to cheapen somebody who's doing something that's never before been done? He has more than half the ERA that Bob Gibson had, 1.12 to 5.0, in half a season. Why would you do it? Why would you do it? Now, I know the crackdown. I understand the crackdown. I actually approve of the crackdown. Should have been done, A, before the season or after the season, or B, why don't you check guys that actually are suspected of it, or why don't you check guys that you've picked up baseballs during the inning and they're sticky? Why don't you do that? Why don't you have Rapsodo cameras on all the pitchers? And if you see a sudden jump in spin rate, why don't you check them? Why would you check Jacob DeGrom? Why? This is one of the best things that's happened to baseball ever, and you've got to somehow cheapen it. It is profiling at its worst. Oh, he's a pitcher. Yeah, and he pitches pretty well. Okay, we'll check him. Fools. Fools. Such a bad look for baseball. And they're lucky that he had good humor about it and smiled and laughed. But what happens if one guy goes, get lost? I'm not showing you anything.
Well, how could he do that?
I guess you can't.
You can't.
But at least you could pitch a fit.
I mean, DeGrom didn't care. How many other pitchers got checked last night?
I think everybody did.
So then it's not profiling.
Yeah. If you're a pitcher, they're profiling you.
No, that just means they're checking all pitchers. Profiling would suggest that people are being chosen at random, seemingly at random. This isn't random. They're checking every pitcher. Isn't that a difference?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't.
I'm not saying it's good or bad, but it's not the same thing.
It was a bad optic, Peter, just from the standpoint that was a day game, a makeup game. So he ended up being the first.
Right.
The best pitcher was first, so end up being a bad look. But Peter's right. I mean, it could have been anybody, anytime. Any Met pitcher Lucchese could have been the guy and he would have been checked and nobody would have thought anything because he's not considered one of the best pitchers in baseball. Now he's hurt, but so it just looked bad. So I don't blame the umpires, and I don't necessarily blame how it's being handled once the edict came out. I'm just upset with the edict in principle. This could have been handled so much better than in the middle of the season having to check pitchers when there's no accusation, just random. This is like a DUI. You know, just going through, just driving, minding your own business, and the guy that's drunk might be ahead of you, and because he's not the fourth car, gets buzzed through, and then you just arbitrarily get pulled over on your way home from church. You know, but every pitcher is eventually going to get checked. But how does this happen? Every sport has their moment. Oh, we're gonna have more holding penalties. That's decided during the offseason, and in game one, it's done. The NFL probably denies that they're even doing it. It's just something that's speculated. This is something that comes down in the middle of a season, and unlike anything I've ever seen in sports before, you're pulling somebody to the side and checking on them without the other team looking and saying, go check him, or you notice something's wrong with the ball. Name another example where you just arbitrarily pulled off the ice, the court, and a field and get checked.
See, but I don't have a – I mean, I'm in lockstep with you. It shouldn't have been done during the season. Okay, but it's being done. Why should it be random? Why shouldn't it be people that are actually suspected? Why shouldn't it be a pitcher where they've recovered a baseball from that previous inning that had sticky stuff on it? Umpires could check it every single time they want. Why would you check Jacob DeGrom? Again, never suspected. Doesn't even have a high spin rate. He has a suspiciously low spin rate for somebody that throws so hard. So why him? Why would you even cheapen? It's like drawing a mustache on the Mona Lisa. Why would you do it?
But this is what they're doing. I mean,
I get it, but you know, absolute rules are absolutely ridiculous. Check guys that have high spin rates. You have
right.
All the records.
Fair.
Why are you checking a guy that doesn't have a high spin rate, which means that he doesn't use sticky stuff? Why? Why would you do it?
Right. It doesn't take a lot of work to know that's the telltale sign of sticky stuff is spin rate. Right.
And also, I was thinking about this, too. So they checked his hat, his glove, checked his belt. Well, what happens if you put the sticky stuff around the inside of your leg? And, you know, you just always tuck your shirt in or whatever. Are they going to make you strip on the mound? Really? Are they going to strip you down? Make you bend over? I mean, what are they going to do? It's so stupid.
It just feels like they're just going through the motions here. We'll see if they catch anybody, Michael. But you're right. If you're just going through, we're going to check the cap, we're going to check the glove, we're going to check the belt. But what if he's getting it from the bottom of his shoe? What if he's getting it from, you know, inside his pants? I don't know. It just seems to me like if you really want to cheat and you see the crackdown, the cheaters are always ahead of the rules, right? They'll figure it out. So like you said, are you going to have a full strip search?
Is an
umpire going to all of a sudden bring out a rubber glove to put on his hand to just thoroughly check the ball? Where are we going to go?
They actually checked Joe Kelly of the Dodgers. They checked his glasses. Made him take his glasses off. They thought he had sticky stuff there. Does baseball think this is a good look? Really? Now that you have this power, you've got the baseballs that they're throwing. If there's anything sticky on it, then check them. Why do you have to check everybody?
Baseball stinks.
I don't get it. I don't get it. So let's cross over from that to how amazing DeGrom is. He's doing stuff. Now think about this. That has never been done before. Ever. Not like in modern history. Ever. The gold standard of ERAs, as I mentioned, was Bob Gibson's 1.12 in 1968. Pitching was so dominant that year that they lowered the mound. No one else has this. Do you realize, Don? I'm sure you do realize because you're forced to watch Giant games like a prisoner. Kevin Gausman is having an amazing year.
Yeah.
And his ERA is one full run higher.
It's crazy.
Than DeGrom. I mean, what DeGrom's doing has never been done before. And what's different this year, Don and Peter, Mets are winning his games.
His record, what is he, 7-3 now?
7-2.
7-2. I mean, that's a stark difference from the past. You don't have to have that terrible kind of taste in your mouth of unbelievable stats, and then you look at his record, and he's 1-4.
Yeah, he's the Cy Young Award winner.
It's crazy. You know, 72 innings. Now, it's all got to be taken a little bit with era, right? Like, this is the best pitcher of this era. But you can't just look at, all right, this is what he's done through the first 12 starts with a .50 earned run average in 72 innings. But I'd have to do the quick math. Do you know how many innings Gibson must have pitched in his first 12?
Well, I think I heard today Tim Kirchen said his first 11 games were all complete games. He threw 99 innings.
Yeah, I'm just looking at his innings pitched. All right. 7, 7, 9, 9, 12, 11, 8, 9 2/3, 8, 8, 9, 9. So listen, I'm sure his earned run average would probably be a lot lower if he only went like 5 or 6 innings, but hey, that's not DeGrom's fault, right? Because that's the way this game is played now. Nobody wants you to go 11 innings. That would never happen. I can imagine the number of pitches Gibson must have thrown in back to back starts, Peter, where he pitched 12 innings and then 5 days later pitched 11. Imagine having a start going 13 innings in 2 starts. I mean, that's ridiculous on one end. And obviously him leaving early has helped. So it's a little different, but relative to everybody else that's doing it, because nobody else is really giving you a tremendous amount of length either. And he was leaving games because he just wasn't feeling well. His arm was bothering him, and so far so good. No problems after the outing yesterday. Is that he, compared to everybody else, no one's close of this of right now what we've seen from pitching and some really good pitchers making tons of money. Nobody's close to him.
Yeah, it's like you're watching a video game. You know, I watched a lot of that game yesterday. Watched when we got off the air as well. He should have had 5 no-hit innings. The double that started that rally in the 5th inning should have been caught, and it wasn't. The Mets are still not a great defensive team. And then he got out of it. I think he threw his last pitch was 100 or 101 miles an hour. He's amazing. He's amazing. He's a treasure to watch.
Yeah.
He really is. Mets fans should realize how lucky they are.
And the other thing I thought of, Michael, I don't know if you thought about this, like how ridiculous these 7-inning doubleheaders are, where you're watching this brilliance, and if not for the miscommunication in the outfield, he would have had no hits through 5, but you know you're not going to watch a no-hitter because baseball wouldn't award it in 7 innings. If the 7-inning games are going to last, if this isn't going anywhere, Michael, and you're not going to allow no-hitters, then shouldn't we also recalculate how many innings you have to go to earn a win?
It should be four innings.
Right, because you got to go 5 to earn a win in a 9-inning game, so why is it still 5 in a 7-inning game?
Because that's baseball, Susan.
No, because they threw this nonsense rule together without thinking it through. How are they going to handle no-hitters? How are they going to handle whether you have a complete game stat or not? The price of the tickets, how many innings you have to go to earn a win. Like, all this, because Michael, you said baseball is different than every other sport because the numbers matter. Then why would you create something where the numbers all of a sudden don't matter?
It's very weird.
Well, Buster only interviewed the umpire, Bill Miller, on Sunday, and Bill Miller said, we're going to check every pitcher. So that's what's been agreed upon, even with the Players Association. And just because it's been agreed upon, I think it's asinine. Check pitchers that are doing something wrong. They checked Urias yesterday, right? Gave up 4 runs in an inning. Really? He's using sticky stuff? If he gave up 4 runs in an inning, let him continue to use it.
Exactly. Well,
so there's no common sense involved.
But why can't you have something where, like in the NHL, if you think somebody has an illegal stick, right? It's not the official that notices. It's the other team that wants to get it measured. They'll measure it. If it's illegal, it's a penalty. And if you ask for it to be measured and it's not illegal, you then get a penalty. So, like, couldn't baseball, like, if you feel like I can't touch this guy, something's up, I'm going to call the umpire over, check him. And then you check him to find out what's going on. Like, why are you going to bother checking the guy that couldn't get out of the first inning? Why are you going to bother checking the guy that throws 80 miles per hour, who has no spin rate? You know, what if this was during the era of the knuckleball pitcher? Are you going to be checking him too? So why can't the other team say, something's going on here, check that? And then you find some sort of punishment if you check him and then he's okay. I don't know how you do that. Baseball hates punishing anyway. But why are you checking guys that you know are not having a problem?
Can I tell you something, Don? I'm going to use the word checkling from now on. I love it.
Checkling?
Yeah, I love it.
It's original.
Yeah, I love it. I also love that we're giving away money. It's 98.7 ESPN's $1,000 a day giveaway. Later in this hour, and again in the 5 p.m. hour, be listening for the cue to call. And be ready to call in at 888-987-ESPN to claim $250 cash. Like yesterday's winners, Jean Mosquia from Bayonne and Joseph Lucien from Brooklyn. You can also cash in by listening to DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg in the 6 and 7 a.m. hours. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. All right, let's take some phone calls. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Frank in Tom's River. Frank.
How you doing, guys? Good afternoon.
What's going on?
I have a question. Really a statement. Mike, I know you were saying about it's a bad optic with DeGrom and everybody, but at the end of that half inning, they did check the Braves pitcher as well. But my thing is this. If they're going to check every pitcher, why not do it as soon as they take the mound in the beginning of the game? This way, they can just see if there's any issues or any problems, they can make a decision then. Instead of making the pitcher go through a half inning or go through the inning, and then as he's walking off the mound, let's check.
You know what? I like it, and you could do that. You could do that in the dugout, so it's not a freak show to everybody watching. Why would you allow the guy to pitch with the sticky stuff? Why would you allow him to be quote unquote dominant in that one inning? Doesn't make sense, right? Doesn't make any sense. And the fact that it's not random, what you want to do is make it random. Because if it's random, some people might be emboldened to do it or risk it. Let them risk it. Then check them, then suspend them. Let's go to Jay in Rockland. Jay.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hope everybody's doing well.
Same to you.
I wanted to bring up a point. If they're going to police the pitchers, I think it'd probably be a good idea to police the catchers as well. And the reason why is, I don't know if you guys remember, but I think it was last year there was a play where a ball bounced and stuck to Yadier Molina's chest protector.
Yeah, there's a famous picture of it.
Yeah, these catchers could just as easily put that spider tack on their chest protector, touch their chest protector, receive the ball from the catcher, throw it to the pitcher, and there you go. There's spider tack on the baseball.
I couldn't agree with you more. And that's why I said they're profiling. They're profiling pitchers. There's other ways that the spider tack could get to the ball. The biggest one would be the catcher. Why aren't they checking catchers, Don? Why just pitchers? Why?
Well, I think they probably are, Michael, because remember, the pitcher is on the mound all by himself, right? Nobody around him, and he has the ball. Catcher gets the ball from the pitcher, and the umpire's right there. So I'm assuming the umpires are looking at the catcher. What does he do with the baseball? Is he throwing it right back to the pitcher? Is he messing with it? Is he rubbing it against his person? That would be easier to find, right? Same thing with any other fielder. What's he do? Is he throwing the ball back to the pitcher? Is it going around the horn? Or is he messing with it in some way, right? So that'd be easy to see. But with the pitcher, pitcher's going through all kinds of histrionics before they throw. They're always rubbing the ball. They're always putting their hands through their hair. They're always adjusting themselves with the ball in their gloves. So you could probably get away with it, but everybody else, they only have the ball for a microsecond, and if they don't, an umpire is close enough to see what they're doing. So I'm assuming the home plate umpire is keeping an eye on the catcher, because that to me would be the number one source outside of a pitcher for doctoring the ball.
But, why wouldn't they check the catcher? Because you're not watching the catcher all the time. If you reach down into the ball bag to grab a ball, the catcher just touches the back of his shin guard. Most umpires don't throw the ball back to the pitcher. They give it to the catcher. Boom. He loads it up. You've got sticky stuff on it. Let's check the two people that handle the baseball the most.
Well, but I'm making an assumption, and you know what happens when you assume. But usually the catcher puts his bare hand up. The umpire puts the ball in his hand, and he just immediately throws it to the pitcher. Right? If you see him all of a sudden take the ball and put it down by his shin guard or mess with it, then the umpire's right there to see it. And a lot of times the umpire will actually be the one to throw it back to the pitcher. balls are constantly going in and out, getting rotated. The only time it's really being quote-unquote messed with is by the pitcher. Now, the difference is when the pitcher, when a catcher walks it back to the mound, or if there's a meeting on the mound, but that only takes a couple of seconds before the umpire breaks it up. So I think it's a lot harder for somebody outside of the pitcher to mess with it without somebody seeing it.
Well, I would think that you, in my humble opinion, pitcher gets checked, catcher gets checked, third baseman gets checked. Because after strikeout, you rip the ball around the infield, and the final guy that touches it is the third baseman, gives it to the pitcher. He could have a load of sticky stuff or spider tack on his glove, a load of it. Check him. Instead, you're making examples of the pitchers.
Well, what you could do there, Michael, because, I mean, how many balls are really put in play? When there's a ground ball to the third baseman, throws it back to first base, they give it back to the pitcher. A lot of times that ball doesn't stay in play.
Right.
Seems like they're always looking for excuses to get rid of the ball. Right? So,
yeah.
But there could be, like, yeah, you're right. But check the ball. If the ball's okay, then you shouldn't have to check anybody, like to your point. Check the ball. If the ball's not sticky, everybody's okay. If the ball's sticky, then you find out why it's sticky. That's when you start checking people.
What a mess that we're talking about this when we should be luxuriating in the greatness of Jacob DeGrom. Yeah.
But again, I don't blame the umpires. I don't think it's profiling. Everybody's getting checked. It was a bad optic because, you know, DeGrom was the first pitcher and he's the best pitcher, but that was the circumstances of the 5 o'clock start. You know, if the Mets were in San Diego, he wouldn't have been the first person, right? He would have been checked at like 10:15 at night. But it's how you do something in the middle of a darn season, right? And so clunky. Could have been done during the off season. You didn't even have to explain to anybody what's going on. We're gonna be really diligent in making sure the sticky stuff isn't happening. But to do a grandy, everything they do, Michael, is just so archaic.
It's fat hands. They just mess it up. It's fat hands. 98.7 ESPN's $1,000 a day giveaway. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to score $250 cash. Again, that's 888-987-3776. Tomorrow is the final day, the last day, the final day, the last day to cash in. So be listening in the 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. Spend that money at a local eatery or a store that's been closed, just opening up. Spend it. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
On us. Be good to yourself. Take care of yourself.
Got to start taking care of these mom-and-pop shops. You know how difficult it's these last 15 months have been for your local restaurants and different places. So you get that money, go right there and spend it. Even if you don't get $250 from us, you know, think about those people now that things are opening up. And maybe if you have the ability to and you're spending money somewhere, you know, spend it with those places that really struggled the last 15 months.
Last time, Peter, you ever walked into a place that Ma and Pa were there?
It's been so long since Ma or Pa has been there. In fact, my favorite seemingly Ma and Pa-ish type place in my neighborhood, Pier 72, this little mom and pop diner on 72nd and West End, it went away during COVID.
What's there now?
I just saw a sign that says deli coming soon. And there's another, I go to a diner instead that's next to the Beacon Theater, which, don't get me wrong, delicious diner. But I'm not joking. Me, Natalie, and Dipperstein's in town, we had breakfast this morning.
$100.
The total with tip was $90. For a diner, we had omelets and, like, you know. Whereas the mom and pop shop that was on 72nd was legit. You could get out of there three people for $45.
Is this Dipperstein?
That's right. So it's a shame.
I mean, I would hope Dipperstein picked up the tab.
He tried, but he picked up dinner last night. So
Dipperstein, the hell with him.
Wow. All right, let's take a deep breath. Towel off. We got a lot of stuff to do today. Peter, will you find it within yourself to review the book today or not?
Yes. Today, listen, a lot happened yesterday. And I was going to call you guys last night. I had trouble sleeping. I was upset throughout the night, was in a legitimately bad mood.
You buried Paul George?
What's happened between the error of Paul's and what can only be referred to as the Brazil Euros incident, I'd like for that period of time, which went between, what, like a Thursday and Monday, I'd just like for it to be a time we don't speak of anymore.
Fix that!
We just move forward, pretend it never happened, and should a third thing similar happen, we all agree I'll make a doctor's appointment.
Can we, because we're all close with each other, and we understand the rules of engagement, but would it be nice to just, once a year, have the ability to say, let's lose that drop. It really hurts. I was in a bad place at that moment. Can we all have just one a year strike the drop?
Do you mean this one, Don?
Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
Excuse me?
Right? I don't want that erased, but I don't think a drop came from yesterday's debacle. I would just like to not speak of it ever again.
No, a drop came from yesterday's. A drop in ratings, yeah.
He just admitted that he was down, couldn't sleep.
Nope.
And you're going to take another shot.
You know what, Don? I couldn't sleep either because of the drop in ratings like that.
I don't think mistakes like that hurt us at all. It hurts me personally and my future potential employment. Don, do you know what happened actually? Do you know that while I was making the mistake, do you know that Andrew immediately noticed it? Right?
Right.
And we all think of Andrew as salt of the earth, right? He could have jumped right in my ear and been
Hey there.
You meant Kawhi Leonard. You just said Chris Paul. You mean Kawhi Leonard.
It's not fair.
And he did notice it immediately. And he did go in somebody's ear, Don. But you know whose ear he went in?
Who, Mike? Kay?
Michael.
Yeah, that's but right. here's
Maybe time to rethink, Don, how we think of Andrew being salt of the earth.
You know what?
I will fight you after this show.
He didn't want to embarrass you, and it was so convoluted. You didn't just conflate Chris Paul and Paul Pierce. You had Chris Paul out, Pierce out, Kawhi Leonard out. You had Slick Leonard out. You had a lot of Leonards out. Leonard and Penny were out. You messed up.
Don.
Yes.
How do we even talk about this now? You just added a third Paul, Michael.
Yeah, I know, on purpose.
No, you didn't. You added Paul Pierce.
No, did you hear? He's mentioning all the Pauls and all the Leonards.
You're trying to catch me, a genius? Are you really trying to do that?
If it wasn't Leonard politically incorrect, he might have thrown out Leonard Part 6.
Oh.
It was a mess. I did lose sleep over that. I could see it all slipping away. Everything we built, you're just hacking away at.
See, this is – I know you think you're doing this for jokes, but you're really hurting the guy.
I want to keep the Brazil one. It's okay, but the Paul situation.
No, that's staying. Might be in my next book.
Screw your next book.
Why is he reviewing the book? He's not even halfway through it.
I'm halfway through it. That's exactly right. Don,
I'm just finishing up Lawrence Taylor. There's only two more. I'm assuming Jay-Z's last. Oh, so I got three. I got McEnroe, Snoop Dogg, and Jay-Z. That's it. I should be reviewing the book.
All I did was announce I was reviewing the book. I didn't say you couldn't. By the way,
way past the clock, Todd.
All right, we got to take a break. Take a break.
Oh, all right. So the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. Also, the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. But if God got us,
then we gon' be all right. You know, a lot of our very concerned listeners are worried that Peter might have the yips. Like something Knoblockian.
I'll tell you what. I feel Knoblockian.
You feel yippy.
Yesterday felt yippy, for sure. I felt like my head was just cluttered, you know? Too much on my... I do have a lot of things on my mind, but I felt cluttered and off. And then to find out that Andrew, who you think is a guy who cares for you, and could have jumped in and saved me and instead went to you, that, you know...
I think you're overstating a little bit of how much of a bad guy I was. I understand why you feel that way, but you said everything you said so confidently, and it kind of happened so quickly, it took me a second. I just wanted to make sure that I heard what I heard, so I was almost like confiding in someone else to make sure that it was what it was, not to make fun of you.
Don, do you believe it or no? What do you think?
I think his heart was in the right place, but if he took a second to think about it, sending it to Michael, what good was going to come of that for people?
See? Right. Whereas he could have just – so for future reference, for anyone here, if I'm making a total ass of myself on the air, just cut me right off and go, what the hell are you talking about? Because that, Don, don't you agree? Had he cut me off mid-sentence and gone, Peter, you're not making any sense, it would have been better than me finishing the entire thing. That sounded psychotic.
Yeah, but that really highlighted, you know, how bad it was, which is what we wanted.
See, Andrew? And that's unfortunate. That's the person you chose to be in cahoots with.
Well, I can't control that. I can only control what I do, not what he's going to do.
Yeah, but Luke Voigt, what he's going to do, so that makes you part of it.
See?
Luke Voigt reinstated to the Yankee roster. Darren O'Day and Justin Wilson will start rehab assignments today with Scranton Wilkes-Barre. Peter, why are you not on TV right now?
My thing just disconnected. It went to green. See, even when I'm actually picking up the ground ball and feeling confident, you know, it's like I throw it over to first base. I actually make it there, but then I run off the field and forget there was only one out.
You know, I'm Hack Rosenberg.
There's just something going on. I just gotta pick up these ground balls. I did vote today, though, successfully.
Who'd you vote for? You want to say?
No,
he's DJ Juanito.
I do not vote for Juanito. I think you can answer without being political or swing left or right. Did you use all five of your options?
I used all five. I'll tell you this. Yang did not get one of my five. How do you like that? That's all I'll tell you.
Why?
Because I think he stands for nothing.
Why?
I feel like he's just a celebrity who's kind of running for office.
Okay. I think when you stand for nothing, you stand for everything.
That's not usually how the phrase goes. I think.
No, I'm going to tell you why it works. If you stand for nothing, then you can look at each individual problem on its own basis, its own merit. But if you stand for something, then that's going to color the way you look at every single problem that comes across your desk.
So a good politician should stand for nothing.
They shouldn't be locked into anything. I would say you should stand for something, but they shouldn't be locked into one side. The perfect politician is right down the middle.
I don't know if that's
true. Sounds like you could be had, Michael. That's the problem.
Oh, I could be had, but that's
why
I'm not
running.
Good.
That's not being that's a rich politician.
No.
That's
you can be had
business,
but you could actually be swayed on the merits of each individual problem.
Well, that's not being had. When I'm saying being had, which means you can be bought.
I can't be bought,
and you don't want that to happen. But if you wanted an education, because there's a lot of things that are very confusing when they're the way things are being voted in New York City. I was listening to Peter this morning on Hot, and unfortunately, I do not have a vote, but to be able to go over all the candidates the way you did, go over the voting procedures, you did a tremendous service to the city, my friend.
Well, thank you.
Without Ebro.
Please. Ebro was
Sans Ebro.
Yeah, Ebro was off, but we AOC called in to make sure that everyone understood how ranked choice voting worked.
Ebro should just stay in his lane.
Well, yeah. And so I didn't have five for every race. There was a couple where I only did like three because I just didn't know enough about five.
Well, since I don't live in New York City anymore, you vote for five people in order? It's like voting for Cy Young?
You didn't know that?
I think it's ridiculous. It's asinine. Pick a winner.
They started.
I don't know. I think I like it.
They started. That's the new thing now. It's ranked choice. You vote for five, and then it's the total overall score, basically, is who becomes mayor.
Asinine.
Okay.
Why?
Go to the phones.
I think it's a good idea.
Well, you and I differ. Joe and Clark. Joe.
Hey, my favorite trio. What's going on, guys?
What up?
Mike, I agree with you about, Michael, I agree with you about the, checking, especially a guy like DeGrom, who's never been accused of anything, to do it right there on the mound, you know, in public. I mean, I guess for the cynical fan out there, he's happy because at least he knows now they are policing this, they are checking, they're not just saying it. So that maybe they like that look, the fact that everyone knows now, look, we're doing it. We're not going to let anybody pass. Everybody gets checked. But I do agree that the catchers definitely also have to be checked. And I don't know if they are or not, the same way the pitchers are, because, you know, they can easily be wiping something on the ball before it gets back to the pitcher. Also, real quick about the Mets, guys. Michael, I don't know, you know, as far as going to the trade deadline coming up here with the Mets, I think they're built for the postseason. That's one thing I do like. They have three great starting pitchers, and I do like Diaz as a closer. I think he's finally turned the corner as a closer, even though he has a couple hiccups. I think they need backs, Michael. I think they have to add some offense somewhere. I mean, Lindor, I've called you guys a million times about Lindor. I don't care. I know he had the game last week. I don't love him. I still think he, you know, you thought he would have built off of that. He has done nothing since that game. So, you know, they're going to get McNeil back. Of course, they got him back. They're going to get Conforto back, so that's almost like a trade. But I still think they need another bat. I don't know where, you know, what position, because I don't know if J.D. Davis is going to come back. Villar is a big loss if he goes on the DL, the IL, because he's been such a spark for them at the top of that lineup. I mean, I almost, you know, when Nemo comes back, I'd rather have Villar up there. Villar, to me, is more, he's more clutch. He's got more big hits. You know, he's still some base.
But when you say they need another bat, but my question to you, Joe, is where you can't just say, I don't know where they're going to put him. Well, who do you want to replace?
Well, that's the problem because, you know, the outfield, with Conforto coming back, you're going to have him out there. You have Dom Smith and what do you call it? Pilar. You know, or Nemo, but I mean, like, that's the thing. You're right. I would love to get Duvall. He's a guy who can just give you instant power. You know, what do you have, 17 home runs he has? Because this team just, you know, even Alonso, Michael, you look at his rookie year, I mean, that's a far 53 home runs. Looks like, I don't think he'll ever come close to that again.
Well, but Joe, that's not fair. Joe, no, that's not fair. If you look, everybody said that Alonso had a bad year last year. You prorate that over 162 games, he had 38 home runs. You're not going to take that? Stop, man.
I think the only place where you could seriously think of upgrading would be third, right?
Yeah.
But you just can't get a bat and throw them anywhere because I think they're pretty much set. When they're healthy, I think they're a good offensive team. Not great, but I think they're good, especially with this pitching staff, Michael, that's pitching to a top five earned run average. They'll be fine. But the only position where you could say, I think we can seriously upgrade would be third base. But when everybody comes back healthy, when Conforto comes back and Davis and now you got McNeil back, I think they're okay. I do.
So do I. And if you're not going to take what Alonso's giving you, I'm sorry. I mean, who do you want at first base? Where are you going to improve on what Alonso gave you? In a bad year last year, 38 home runs over 162 games. Take it. We'll take it. We need a new bat, but I don't know where we're going to put it. Well, therein lies the rub, Joe.
Yeah.
Therein lies the rub.
That's how the whole thing works.
Yeah. Mark on the New Jersey Turnpike. Marky Mark, what's up?
How's it going, guys?
All good.
I got a question for Peter regarding this voting thing, what he just said. I don't know if that makes sense. So you're telling me that, say the first place votes are split between all the candidates, mm-hmm. but there's one candidate that has a majority of the second place votes. Can he win with all the second-place votes?
Yeah. Wait. A candidate who did not get any first-place
votes? Any
first-place
votes, but got, like, every second-place vote. And some of the guys that had first or women who got first, they got some fourth place. So a guy or gal who didn't get any first-place votes could actually become mayor.
Yes.
And that doesn't seem somewhat sketchy to you?
No, because I think, and Don, I assume you're seeing it the same way, when you look at the overall approval that they're getting, that person who has tons of second is getting more of an endorsement by the entire city than the person who got a few first, but mostly fourth.
But you know why this works, Peter?
Hmm.
Because you don't have any standout candidate.
Well, that's why it came up, because in the past, people haven't been carrying anywhere close to 50%. So people are winning mayor of New York with 22% of the vote. And so they'd rather than get someone who's only getting 22% of the vote, at least get someone who 65% of the vote said they liked. I think it does make sense.
Why is the voting on June 21st? I know this is ignorant. Why is it not November?
Well, it's June 22nd. This is the primary, not the general.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And so that's why this
works. It's just for the Democratic. Okay.
Right, and that's why this kind of works, because they're all running on the same ticket, right?
I could buy this then. This is not the mayoral vote, though, in November.
No, but it's the only one that matters.
Right, because the Republican probably doesn't have a shot, right? So you are kind of voting for mayor.
I would have you both pause and remember that Bloomberg and Giuliani won as Republicans.
No, I know.
Generally speaking, though, we would already know if there was a Republican. Let me put it this way: Giuliani already came out and endorsed a Democrat. You know what I'm saying?
Came out what?
Endorsed a Democrat already.
Right.
He already endorsed Eric Adams. So there is no Republican that they're taking seriously. I know, like, Curtis Sliwa is running. Like, there are people running for Republican, but I guess this time around, no one is considering a Republican.
And what's actually also become very interesting is having running mates. Two candidates kind of together.
That part I find to be a little suspect, by the way.
Well, especially when when one endorses and the other one doesn't, which has happened a couple of times.
Yeah, this guy's my second. Oh, really? Well, would he be your second?
Oh, no, well, I'd
rather
not say.
A little funky.
At the risk of being too political, we'll take a timeout, pull the plug on this, and when we come back, we've got to talk. What the heck happened to the Islanders? What happened?
Don, we need questions.
No, we need answers. We've got questions. He better have answers.
That was actually intentional, guys. That was a Cardi B quote.
No, you've got the yips. Okay?
No, it wasn't a yip. That
Steve
wasn't
Saxian.
A yip.
Oh, yeah.
That was not Steve Sachs.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. The Michael K. Show.
Michael, Don, are you there?
Oh, yeah, sure. Tell us about it.
Well, I didn't even tell you what I'm telling you about yet.
On 98.7 ESPN.
We have a new hire here at 98.7 ESPN. Our good buddy, Ty Butler, had a baby.
That's right. What a name on this child, by the way.
Give it up.
Noah Donovan Butler.
It's almost regal.
It's a beautiful name.
It really is. And they're not playing games. There's no like QT names. It's a name.
It's no nonsense. 11 pounds, 7 ounces, 12:07 Friday afternoon.
Wife. 11 pounds.
Yeah,
oh,
Cassie,
goodness.
She had some work to do.
And Ty's not a big guy by any stretch.
No, but he made himself a healthy baby. So congrats to Ty and Cassie. Noah Donovan Butler is here in the world.
Peter, I don't know, I'm sorry to do this, but I believe it's 7 pounds, 11 ounces.
7 pounds, 11 ounces. Apparently there was a miss.
Oh, my God. It continues.
A massive
miss. Was that better?
Andrew, that was terrific what you just did.
I try every day.
Do you realize that we would
have... Now you have a very, very clear form of dyslexia.
I'm going back to look at the message Ty sent me to see if I can blame him. Please let me blame the father. Please let me blame the father. Well, either way.
You know what Jonathan just said on Twitter, Don, see if you agree. Is Rosenberg Radio becoming Ben Simmons before our eyes?
Oh.
And by the way, 100% right. 7 pounds, 11 ounces, 37 and a half weeks. It's 100% there.
Dear God.
Let me do that again. Noah Donovan Butler, 7 pounds, 11 ounces. And Ty and Cassie, congratulations.
Now, he's gonna. There's a lot of people that have children, but there's only a few that you really say, I think he's going to be an amazing father. He is going to be terrific at it.
You thought that about me. I thought that about you. Who else?
No, I don't know if he is.
Andrew. I knew Andrew was going to be.
So, in other words, everyone you know.
No, I don't. We both talked about this off the air. We don't think you'd be a good dad at all.
It's just not true.
No, you'd be very, very self-involved. Nah,
no chance. No chance Don said that. Maybe you. I believe you. Not Don wouldn't have said it. But Ty's a special guy.
He's a good guy. He really is a good guy.
And I remember you guys weren't sure about Ty at first. I remember. You thought he was an overtalker.
Well,
I remember the early days.
Hey, everybody comes with their flaws.
He's a real nice man. Ty is a close talker, too, and he's a toucher.
No, it has nothing to do with the amount he talks, really. He's not a close talker at all. And
I don't think he's a close
producer, and he's a fantastic human being.
He's a legitimately nice man.
My only complaint about it, and I can't believe we're doing this, but Peter threw us out there, is that he was very comfortable early.
That's what it was. The word was very comfortable. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And it turned, and you know what? It just shows the instincts of a father. He knew that he was going to be great here, and he knew that he would get along with everybody, and it very quickly did not become an issue. But, you know, we're all working together a long time, and then there's those people that they kind of stay on the perimeter. They don't want to join the conversation. He was like a long-lost friend the second he
came. Yeah, he showed up, and he was in.
And you know how we are. We're so set in our ways. We're like, whoa, this guy's a little too comfortable. And that was like maybe a month, and then it was like it was fine. But that's the only thing.
It took me a year before I accepted him. Then I felt comfortable enough that he could be comfortable.
But he was already comfortable.
Like a bull through a china shop, it's not really good.
It's hard for you, Michael, because it's going to take longer for you because you're not always here, you know? You're not always in the studio.
No, he showed up in the winter, and I was here every day, and I was sickened by him, frankly. But then then I grow to love him. I like him a lot.
But this this criticism is actually a compliment because he just knew. He saw the future and figured we're all going to be great together, so why beat around the bush?
Well, I hear him on Saturday on Rosenberg's show, or what? Rothenberg's show. And the bottom line is he makes that show by talking as much as he does.
Yeah, he's terrific there, and he's also done solo shows.
He's good. He's going to be a star.
I just still can't believe that I just did it again. So I thought I was over. I thought I'd gotten through.
I think you need a vacation. But when's your vacation?
Oh, you think I need a vacation?
When is it, so we know?
It's not until August, my official vacation.
No,
I'm
we're not going to make it.
Michael, I'm taking,
we're not going to make it.
I'm taking a day here. And
come on, dog.
I might, you know what? Doesn't the book end tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, you might not see me Thursday. I might be gone.
Me neither, because there's an afternoon game. I'm thinking about not popping on after the game.
So then we know what, Don, I'll be here Thursday. But I got to go. You guys agree. I got to go. I got to lay down somewhere.
Well, what we need to do is, you know, book
maybe
a lot of hockey
problem.
And baseball guests, and then you can get breaks within the show.
Yeah, no, but
you do ecstasy.
You could shut down in about 22 minutes. We have the new coach of the Rangers on.
Cool. I'll take 12 there.
All right, Don, what happened to the Islanders yesterday? Talk about not showing up. 8-0. What happened?
You know, the way the Islanders are kind of built, I wouldn't get overly concerned about this other than the fact they lost the game, right? You lose 1-0, lose 8-0, you're still down 3-2 in the series and now have to win back-to-back games. And by the way, that's 12 straight games now. The Lightning have followed up a loss with a win. So they don't lose two in a row. That's what you need to be concerned about. Not that they can bounce back. I fully expect them to bounce back, and I would expect them to win on Wednesday and force the game 7, but now you're going to have to do something that Tampa never does, and that's lose two games in a row, and that's going to be difficult. So that aside, the way the Islanders are built, and that's why it's so important for them to get a lead, is they could play their structure with a lead, add to that lead. When things get out of hand quickly, give up a goal 45 seconds in, you know, it's 2-0 11 minutes in, it's 3-0 towards the end of the first period. The Islanders are, the way they're playing offensively, they're not built to play their system and then make up a 3-goal deficit. It's hard to do. So now they've got to open things up, and that just plays right into Tampa's hands. And this is just such a great offensive team, and now you just get blown out, and it just gets ugly. So I wouldn't read too much into it. Varlamov wasn't great. He'll bounce back. He'll be fine. So I know cosmetically it looks awful, 8-0, but a loss is a loss. They'll bounce back, and I think they'll play their game. But what you saw is a Tampa team that they smelled blood in the water. Things were going. Sorokin had to come in at the end of the period, and then it was lights out. You knew at the end of the first period that game was severely compromised because they've only scored, Michael, 8 goals in 5 games. They're not a great offensive team, or at least not playing great now. So if they've got a pinch, they've got to do things outside of their system, Tampa's just going to eat them alive. And you saw it in the shots, 42-21. You know, everything else was pretty much even with the face-offs and the hits, but they're just not the offensive team Tampa is, and if you got to play catch-up and start doing things that you're not – you just don't have the ability to do right now, that's going to be the final result. So they'll get back. You find out if anything's going to happen to Barzal. Cross-check to root his head at the end of the second period. It was ugly. He did get a game misconduct, so I'm thinking he's just going to get a fine. Michael, if he got suspended, he's your best offensive player. I mean, how are you going to get up from that? But I think he'll be around for game 6. I think they'll bounce back. But more than just how they lost is that they lost. And now they're going to need Tampa to do something they haven't done in literally 2 years, and that's lose back-to-back playoff games.
So you can't like the chance then?
I mean, how could you?
No, you can't.
But
every streak does come to an end, but I don't like their chances going into Tampa on a game 7. I agree with you. I think they'll win in – they'll win at the Coliseum, but that could be the last game ever played at the Coliseum.
But as we say, anything can happen in a game 7. What happened last night I don't think is going to happen again. So they're going to hang. So as long as they can hang, Michael, sure they can win a game 7 in Tampa. Game 7s on the road in the NHL are not like they are in the NBA. You can win on the road. But, yeah, they've just made their job that much harder to do. And that's, like I said, Tampa lost those 4 straight games to Columbus 2 years ago. Victor Hedman was not in those games, and that's why they lost. It's going to be difficult to do, but take it 1 game at a time. I would expect them to come out with a tremendous effort tomorrow, win, and then you get to a game 7 and you can see what happens there. But that concerns me more than how they lost game 5, just the fact that they lost and now have got to win 2 in a row.
Let's go to the phones, 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Brandon in Charlotte. Brandon?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. You?
Pretty good. I want to bring back to the Gary Sanchez conversation.
Sure.
About how he should be in the lineup tonight. Like, I agree, he absolutely should be in the lineup tonight. He should be catching. Because, like you said, if they go with the plan of off today, catch tomorrow, DH, game three, and Stanton's out, then you're missing Gary and Stanton for a game each. And, you know, Voit's coming off the IL today, and you know how they like to rest somebody immediately off the IL. So you probably have your 3, 4, and 5 hitters each missing a game of this set. And you just can't afford to treat the series like you did Detroit earlier in the season, because that puts you in the hole you're just starting to climb out of.
I would agree with you, Brandon. You know, I haven't seen the lineup, but my guess is that he will not play. And I know what Aaron's going to say. I can almost quote what Aaron's going to say. Gary can't catch every game. We might as well keep it this way. But he's going to have a hard time explaining what's going to happen on Thursday afternoon. Because, again, I know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to DH Gary on Thursday afternoon. And then they're going to lose Stanton. And he's going to say, I can't play Stanton every single day. He's still in the process of getting rehabilitated. I'm telling you, that those are the words that are going to come out. We'll see. We'll see. But, you know, Garrett Cole has a say, too. If I'm Garrett Cole, I remember something Al Leiter once told me. I used to ask him, is it tough pitching to Piazza? Because you know he can't throw anybody out. He smiles, goes, yeah, it's not tough pitching to a guy I know who's going to hit me a 3-run home run. And that's the way you have to think. I'm sorry, that's the way you have to think. Because Gary's going to produce more offensively than Higashioka. He just is. No knock on Higashioka. Right now, Gary's one of the hottest hitters in baseball. If I'm a pitcher, I want more runs. So if you don't see Gary Sanchez in there today, that tells you how uncomfortable Garrett Cole is pitching to Gary Sanchez.
And you know what, Michael? I mean, this is going to sound ridiculous, but that's a bad job out of Cole then. I'm sorry. You're one of the best pitchers in baseball. You telling me that Sanchez can't catch you, that you're not the same pitcher when he's behind the plate, that you can afford to lose that 4 times a game, what he's producing right now? Like, Al Leiter's absolutely right. You take a Mike Piazza out of the lineup. How much bad can Cole be that he's willing to take out, you know, potentially, you know, the way he's playing right now, a couple of hits and maybe 3-4 RBIs? Well, shouldn't a pitcher be able to adapt? How much different could it possibly be?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody else could do it. Come on, man. I can understand. Listen, the A.J. Burnett thing was wacky, too. But, you know, Burnett's not Cole. Burnett was never considered one of the best pitchers in baseball. He was a good pitcher. He pitched a no-hitter in Florida. But he was never Cole.
Now, on the flip side, though, Don, you want your stud to be comfortable. If he's more comfortable with Higashioka, that's what you do. And I'm saying, if you don't have Gary behind the plate today, then it's a clear indication that Cole is not comfortable with Gary behind the plate. Because you would not sit Gary, especially with a Thursday afternoon game lurking.
Then you know what? Then you know what? Right now we talked about you can't do anything with Sanchez because you would be selling low because he wasn't playing well. Well, then you got to think about parting ways. You've got 7 more years after this with Cole.
Yeah, but so no catcher catches 5 games in a row.
I know, but Michael, we're talking about big moments. So let's say Sanchez becomes Mike Piazza offensively. Let's say he finally finds everything that the Yankees thought that he was going to be. You're telling me that in big games, elimination games, play-in games, wild card games, game sevens, that this guy's not gonna catch Cole? No, he's going to catch Cole. So why can't he do it now when there is a margin for error? So you're telling me Sanchez is going to sit in the biggest game of the year? If he ends up being this good offensively?
He did last year, and he wasn't good offensively. That's why it made it easy. But if he's good offensively.
But opening day. Now, listen, Cole didn't pitch great opening day. But I'm sorry, Michael, if he ends up – this is going to be a major problem if Sanchez ends up finding it. And now let's wait and see. I mean, we're talking 20 games here. The sample size is still very small relative to what he's accomplished in his career as far as longer stretches where he hasn't hit. But if he ends up becoming a stud, this is going to be an issue.
Let's go to Mitchell in Long Island. Mitchell.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great.
Yeah, well, I have one quick follow-up about the Yankees you guys were just talking about, but I called to talk about Jack Leiter. I watched him pitch for the first time last night, and I was absolutely amazed on how good he is. Besides the fact he is the spitting image of his father from the opposite side, motion and everything, it just blew my mind. He pitched 123 pitches. Outrageous. And he lost the game on a home run. This kid's going to be something else. Now, I know the Yankees drafted him, but he intended to stay in college. Do they have a chance at actually acquiring him?
No, because he's going to be the first or second pick. He's going to be the first or second pick. And then even if they have a bad year, they'll probably be 15th. And what that caller just said, Don, right there, and Peter.
All right.
You have this kid throw 123 pitches? Really? They don't let big league pitchers throw that anymore in college for free. Why? I'm surprised Al allowed it. I know it was a College World Series, but really, 123 pitches for a young man? For what reason? Well, because college coaches want to win. I'm not saying Vanderbilt is like this, but I've seen college coaches blow kids' arms out.
But that's what's interesting from Al's perspective. Maybe he wanted to pitch that much. I'm sure he wants to win. If he wants to be in college, doesn't he want to win in college? Probably wants to win the College World Series, right?
I get it, but not at the risk of his health.
Well, then if that's the way you're going to play it, then don't go.
You know what I'm saying? The coach should be responsible and keep him to 100.
But, again, you're looking at it as this is a stepping stone. You don't even want him to be there because you're afraid that he's going to get hurt. My point is, he's there. He wants to be there. And in the College World Series, he wants to win a national championship.
Don. Blake Snell wanted to win a World Series championship. They wouldn't allow him to go over a certain amount of pitches. It's just the way it is. Nobody. David Cone has thrown the most pitches in a postseason game. No one's ever done it again since 1995. He threw 147 pitches in Game 5 of the ALDS. It's not allowed. The greatest pitchers don't do it. This kid's 20 years old, and you're going to 123 with him? You shouldn't allow it, no matter how much he wants it. You got to protect him against himself.
We'll find out what Al thought. I'm sure Al has a say. I don't know if he has a say in the moment, but I'd be very curious to see what he thinks today after the fact.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it. Let's go to Gary in Flemington. Gary.
Hi, Mike. I just wanted to quickly make a point on Cole and his relativity to pitching to Higgy. Let's not forget, they go back a long, long way. They're friends, and I think that has a lot to do with it. Not so much that he can't pitch to Gary, but he sort of likes to catch, have Higgy pitch, catch him for that reason. Sorry, a little nervous, but
don't be.
That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
You got it. I'm sure he likes to pitch to him. That's why he's pitching to him. And they do have a history. That's why he's pitching to him. But what Don is saying, what I'm saying, you're losing a lot of offense, man. Especially this version of Gary Sanchez. You know, the one a month ago that was hitting 190? Yeah. Okay.
Not a big deal.
Not a big deal at all. In fact, not even an issue, Peter.
No, but right now he's as good a Gary Sanchez as there's been in 4 years.
This is the one you've been waiting for. This is the Gary Sanchez why the Yankees continue to come back for more. He's seductive. His talent is there. When he taps into it, you're going to sit him down? Is he that terrible to pitch to?
That's the thing. And by the way, you might – correct me if I'm wrong – wouldn't late June be the time to work on this to see if we can develop a chemistry? Because here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to get to September when this team is fighting its tail off to make the playoffs, or maybe somehow they're in a better spot than that and they're fighting for positioning. Either way, what if Gary's still playing like this? He's still lights out. You want to have to sit him down every 5 days?
And then if you don't sit him down in September, or you do sit him down in September, then the first game of the postseason, you're not going to play your hottest hitter. And if you do, then he's a DH. And if you DH him, and then Stanton's out, unless he's been cleared to play the outfield. Unbelievable. Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. The head coach, the new head coach of the New York Rangers, Gerard Gallant, will join us in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ah, yes. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, it's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Later on in the hour, we're going to give away $250, which is big. You know, we talked about this in ENN yesterday, and ENN was such a train wreck yesterday, it might have gotten lost. But Carl Nassib of the Raiders came out and admitted that he was gay. And I think it was very brave because, you know, I think yesterday we said first active player, and that's kind of ignoring Michael Sam because Michael Sam admitted he was gay too. And I think he was an active player. But this is a big-time guy. And he came out, and he has been met with total support. Saquon Barkley retweeted him and said something like, "I got your back, brother," something like that. And I said it the way he wrote it, B-R-U-D-D-A. A lot of people around football said, "I'm really happy that you have this off your mind and that you could come forward." And today, Peter, you'll like this. On Fanatics, it's the top-selling NFL jersey.
Really?
Yep. So I think that what we all hope that somewhere down the line, that this doesn't have to be a big thing, that it doesn't have to be announced, that it's not a big thing that it was announced. But I don't know if we're there yet.
Well,
and the fact that it's been met positively, I think, is important. It's an important step. You know, let people love who they love. Then, you know, don't get involved with it.
Well, sports is the last rung, right, of where you, I think, you need to go down this road, right? Because I think you've seen a lot of boundaries being broken down, right? It just sports just seems to be that last one because of, you know, you read the comments and say, well, I'll see if he accepted in the locker room. Well, why wouldn't he be accepted in the locker room when people have been accepted in the workplace and people have been accepted on the set, right? It's just that sports has this, like, it's dominated by men and that complete ridiculous misconception that if you happen to be gay, that means you're attracted to every man and can't dress in front of somebody else in the locker room. I mean, how Neanderthal is that? Like, how backwards thinking is that? But that's, unfortunately, how sports has always been looked upon, where it's really the last domino to fall. Well, and outwardly, Peter, people are always going to be accepted because that's become the politically correct thing to do. It will be interesting on whether he's accepted in the room. If he's not, you know, obviously that's an awful job by his teammates and by anybody that he ever plays with. But I think this is really the last domino to fall, right? We brought it up yesterday. We can't believe this is still a thing.
Well, I thought that Bart Scott had a great point today on Bart and Han with Chris Carlin. And I thought it was fascinating because, you know, just the statistics that are out there. We're all in a workplace where there's somebody that's probably gay. Mm-hmm. Whether or not we know it or not, somebody in our workplace is gay. And Bart said that in his career, there were several guys that the entire team, they knew they were gay. And they kept it a secret so that it wouldn't be that big a deal, out on the field or for fans or whatever. But they knew. And they accepted them. And they accepted them for, you know, who they are. And that was illuminating to me that they're probably football teams and baseball teams. Listen, how do you not know? You know everything. You spend more time with players than you do with your family. And I think you would know. It's almost impossible to keep something like that secret. And Bart said, we did know, and we were fine with it. And we didn't tell anybody just to save them the aggravation. So if that's the case, then I don't think that Carl Nassib's going to have a problem.
Yeah, I don't know if he will or won't. I'm not in those rooms, Michael, but I have heard stories in multiple sports where Bart's right, that they knew someone was gay, but why didn't they come out? Was it because they didn't trust the room, or they just weren't personally ready to do it? And I think a lot of circumstances, it might just be that they didn't feel like they were ready for what would become the media hype of it. And I wish we can get to a day where it doesn't become that big of a deal, but it still is, because there's just a lot of people that just don't feel comfortable making that announcement. And how sad is that, to live a lie? Because if you're not telling anybody, what you're telling the world is that you're heterosexual, because that's always going to be right. The assumption. So that means you're now living your life pretending to be somebody that you're not.
Even if you're not like overtly,
to do?
Even if you're not like overtly pretending, you're not posting pictures of a fake wife, because that's the assumption of society, you know. And listen, that's why it's a different issue. But that's even with with gender roles, why people are putting on their social medias wanting to be identified as he or she, etc. It's putting the onus not just on trans people, but on everyone to kind of make that description for themselves, so they don't have to be the only ones to say that they're different. And that's sort of the situation here. And I did have that feeling yesterday. I was like, man, I can't believe this is an issue. And then I started thinking about the major sports, and I'm like, wait a second. There's no one I could think of that popped in my head in any of the major sports.
Jason Collins, right, in the NBA.
After, though,
but that was after
he was retired, yeah. Billy Beane, not the GM, but the player in MLB.
After he was retired. And I guess what I would ask Bart, or any teammate that said that, you know, this happens and we're all cool with it because we knew, would everybody in that room be cool if that player was out? it's one thing to be cool with them when you know that they're gay but nobody else does, as opposed to them being out. And where it's known, and now the media starts asking questions, and then they have friends that ask questions, and so would they still have no problem? You hope so, but it's a lot easier to say, oh, I don't have a problem with it because nobody else knows but them. But once it becomes known, does that change the perspective in the room?
Don't know. But I will tell you this, of everything that I've read about Nassib coming out, I almost got choked up when I read that by Nassib coming out, you will stop at least one person from committing suicide.
Mm-hmm.
That don't think they have any place to turn, that they can't tell their story, they're afraid to tell their story. This is a big, tough NFL player. I mean, a really tough defensive player who's come out, and now somebody will not commit suicide because of what he did. That's great. Good for him.
Well, think about that, because I am sure that there are a lot of gay fans of football that had nobody to look up to. Because there's not, you're telling me, you know, 53 guys on a roster, 32 teams. It doesn't make statistical sense that every single one of them is heterosexual. So you're a fan and you're gay and you love football, and now you're trying to make a decision on what you're going to do with your life, and are you going to come out to your parents? Are you going to come out to your friends? And not one football player does it. You don't have anybody to look up to, and now you do.
Great. It's great. Good for the guy. Good for the guy doing it. It's funny because I just don't care. It means nothing to me. You do what you do. I do what I do. I don't care. Why would I stand in the way of anybody being happy? Do what you do. Whether I want to do it or not,
life is,
you
we're
do what you do.
We're all up in everybody's grill, right?
Right.
We can't. We always seem to have everybody agree with us. Everybody has to think the way we think. We can't live as human beings unless we get a bunch of people that follow the same thing we think. There's no individual thought anymore.
No, it's groupthink.
Yeah. And the more comfortable you are, the more people that support or have something in common with you. So you live in that atmosphere, Michael. You live in that kind of world, and you have a secret, and you can't tell anybody about it because you're afraid of how they're going to react, and you've got nobody else to lean on. To say, how did you go through it? What was it like when you came out?
It's I think it's so heroic too that people, teenagers right now, who are playing football. Teenagers right now are able to say, if they're struggling with it, they're in middle America playing football and they're gay, and in their locker room they're worried about how it will feel. To know that right now there's an active, successful player, I just think it's such an incredibly impactful thing. That maybe if you're already progressive and we hear about it and the three of us go, oh, that's cool, doesn't affect us much. But if you were 15 and gay and playing football in Ohio, think about how much this means.
Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-919-3776. And we go to Harrison in Manhattan. Harrison.
Hey, guys. I was just listening to you guys talk about the Gary Sanchez situation. And I just thought that with them playing the Royals and Gerrit Cole on the mound, one player isn't going to necessarily win him or lose him a game. And when Gerrit Cole does come out of the game, that they can put him in the spot for Higgy in the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning.
Yeah, but the one fundamental flaw in what you're saying, you can't dismiss the Royals. The Royals are 32-38, so they're not just going to roll over and die. And you don't look at things like that. I'm not sure, Don. I should remember. I think Gerrit Cole pitched against the Tigers, and they lost that game.
Yeah.
They got swept by the Tigers, so you can't say, well, it's against the little sisters of the poor. No. Didn't you live through them getting swept in Detroit by the Tigers? Listen, I agree with them doing this. I thought they might deviate because of how hot Sanchez is, but I understand why they're doing it. But please don't tell me that they shouldn't need Gary Sanchez's bat because it's against the Royals. That's silly. Then you don't know baseball. The worst teams in the world win 62 games. The worst. Why can't one of those 62 be tonight? Yeah, they're gonna lose like 90, maybe 88.
I think Kansas City, Michael, was the best team in baseball through the first 20 games of the year.
Yeah, here's how it's gone: 14-7, 2-13, 13-6, and 3-12.
Yeah.
So they've been streaky, just like the Yankees. But even if they were just god awful, you can't just dismiss a team. They have bats. Pitcher could have a bad day. That's a bad take on that. That's not the reason. The reason is you make your ace happy. If he's, in fact, more comfortable with Higashioka, that's who you put back there. And somebody brought this up on Twitter, and it's true. The guy you really should blame is Stanton. He's the reason this is a problem. If Stanton could play the outfield, then Gary Sanchez could DH today. And Stanton was brought over here thinking he was going to play the outfield. The Yankees thought he was going to be an outfielder. Don't blame Gerrit Cole. Don't make him the bad guy. He's not the bad guy. He wants to be the best that he can be. He feels the best that he can be, whether you agree with it or not, is pitching to Higashioka. Let's go to AJ in Hamilton. AJ.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, AJ.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk about the whole Raider defensive end thing. I'm a big Raider fan. Mm-hmm. He did ask that this not become a subject. So why is ESPN running it underneath their screen every single 5 minutes? And why are people talking about it when he just came out and he said, hey, please, this is who I am. Let's just leave it alone.
Well, he didn't say that. He said he hopes there's a time when someone coming out wouldn't be a story. But he recognizes that it is now.
He did say that. Like, I don't want to make this a story.
Then why did he make it public then? He made it public because
he wanted to come out himself, I guess, Peter. But I'm imagining like he didn't want this kind of firestorm.
But what AJ, if you listen to what we're saying, we're not making a firestorm. We're saying it's so weird that this is still a thing. It is a thing for people. AJ, I'm sorry, it's a thing for some people.
No, I understand.
But I think it's a wonderful thing that his jersey is the number one selling jersey today on Fanatics.
I think that's fantastic. Look, I'm a Raider fan. I have a Carl Weathers jersey, so.
No, listen, I hear what you're saying.
People would kind of understand what he was saying, like, hey.
Yeah, but he could say that all he's
saying. You're not understanding.
That's all well and good. You know, he's dealing in unicorn and rainbows if he doesn't think that this is a thing.
But no, that's not – that's a misunderstanding by the caller.
Yes.
Nassib said
– that he hopes one day it is.
I yearn for a day when this will not be a story. But to Don's point, the reason he did it is so it could be a story right now and would reach all the kids who need to hear it.
Yeah.
So he's not fighting the media. He knows that everyone's going to be talking about it. So gay kids out there can hear it and feel like, okay, I have someone on my side.
He went on Instagram because this needs to be made public for all the people that are struggling, thinking that they can't do what he just did. Now, we love there to be a day where it's not a big deal, but this is the first active player ever of the four major sports to do this. This is a new story. He understood that. And he's hoping one day that it's not a big deal. But right now it is. He saved thousands of lives yesterday. He literally did.
And I'll tell you what, he's not going to convince anybody who finds it offensive. He's not trying to. I think he's trying to help people that are in quote-unquote hiding because they're afraid and they might kill themselves because they feel if they came forward, they'd be ridiculed. You're not going to convince the haters. Sorry. It's the way it is. No matter what he says, no matter how those haters would never say anything to a defensive end from the Raiders, he's not going to convince them. That's not what the announcement was for. The announcement was to make other people more comfortable, I think.
I think definitely that's what it was.
Let's go to Bob in White Plains. Bob.
Hi, did I just get contacted to the best show on radio?
I guess you did.
Okay.
Thank you.
Listen, Mike, I totally agree with you with the Sanchez theory about you got to play the guy when he's hot because you don't know when he's going to go cold. But I blame this whole situation on the acquisition of Stanton because we didn't need this guy when we got him. He's a porcelain doll. He constantly gets hurt. I don't care how many home runs he hits. And I'd like to know if Sanchez plays any other position other than catching, where he could be stud, let's say, to first base or something like that, to get him into the lineup.
Well, I mean, he could play first, obviously, Bob, but he wouldn't play it at a level that is good enough for them to, you know, to risk. And I don't want to put any, like, heavy load on Stanton. I'm sure he wants to play the outfield. He just can't. I don't think the Yankees would have acquired him if they thought he was limited to being a DH. So this is new to them. This is new to him. His body has not been able to be held up. And, yeah, you could point a lot of the blame of the problem today of Gary Sanchez not being one of the nine people in the lineup because Stanton can't play left. He just can't. You know, we were talking about the review of the book, right?
Yes.
So I read this guy who this is his review. I think it's great. David, he gives one star.
It's a book.
He reviewed it June 18th. Will never buy this book because I do not like Michael Kay. My no is all. My no is all. Who gets all the monies, M-O-N-I-E-S, from this book? No question mark. All about money. All capital letters. This time he spelled it right. Exclamation point. Hmm. Well, first of all, I'm not getting rich off this book. I wrote it as a labor of love. Honestly. Second of all, here's the thing that makes me laugh out loud. So at the bottom of each review on Amazon, it says, two people found this helpful.
Oh, two people liked it. It helped.
Yeah, no, not liked it. Two people found it helpful. So, well, you know, my no is all. Who gets all the monies from this book? They found that helpful. Thank you, David.
Well, he's obviously very well spoken and well read.
I think he was attempting. He said, I'm not going to buy this book. He didn't have because I've never read a book in my life. So why start with a guy I hate? That's what he should have put in. But maybe Amazon edited that out. My no is all. Ma, can I use your iPad?
You know what
I
love
troll
about
Michael Kay? The criticism of, like, you know, that the three of us are know-it-alls. Imagine if you had a talk show, a political show or a sports talk show, and every question you're asked is, well, you know, I don't know. Could go either way. I mean, don't you have to give an opinion? Doesn't that make you come off as a know-it-all? I mean, I happen to be incredibly bright. I am a know-it-all, but or a know-is-all. But
not
really,
only are you right, Michael, I believe it has directly hurt my career that I do not anymore like to get on the air and like give one harsh opinion no matter what the story is, have a hot take. Sometimes I just don't have it. I think it is a direct hindrance to success in this business to be that way.
To be a know-is-all?
No, the opposite, to have nuance.
Oh.
Like you're truly rewarded to have a take on everything. That's how the business absolutely is. Have a take on everything. Michael, speaking of your person who dissed your book and then the people who found the review helpful, do you think that I'm petty that last night I put on the post of my last Instagram post, which was a video clip from the pay-per-view on Sunday?
Right.
One of the comments was something like, "You got a face for radio, King." And that comment, Michael, much to your point, that comment had 3 likes. So I'm not a mathematician, but that's 4 people following me who all felt the need on a video post to call me ugly. I went through and individually blocked each one of them. What are your thoughts?
Now, there are days that I wonder why, you know, we work together and what do I really like about you? And then you tell me a story like that and I love you again.
See? Because why would I want, if you're either A, the person who wrote it, or B, the person who decided that was the comment you liked, why do I want you seeing, like, you know, IG stories with my girlfriend, in pictures inside my home with my dog? Like, why do I want to share my world with you if you're there to call me ugly? I'm good.
Well, isn't it?
I'm good.
Isn't it a compliment he did call you king?
You know what? That's like, I love when people do throw in the extra sarcasm of calling you a nice name like King or Bruv or whatever it may be. That's the extra insult.
I love it.
But I did see a kid on the streets of the Upper West Side last night, a 15-year-old kid, who almost died when he saw me. In fact, I thought he thought I was someone else.
And how did you handle him?
I sat and took a picture. I took a picture with him. I chatted with him for a minute or two. Asked him how old he was, blah, blah, blah. It was nice. So it balances out. In real life, the experience are always nice. But don't you find that, Michael? Always nice in real life, nasty half the time on social media.
That's not half. But I do wonder, though, are the people that are nice in real life, is it because everybody likes you, or the people that are nasty just don't have the onions to do it to your face? Because David thinks a my know is all, and who gets all the monies from this book? I get all the monies from this book. Who else should get it?
He wants you to share
it
with the
guest.
Peter,
or should I give it to you, David, to help you with reading his fundamental? Should I do that?
It's a crime to try to make money too.
I think it's a great thing to make money. I read somewhere today. I think it might have been like somebody in the Post quoted it that, you know, Jeff Bezos should not come back from space. There's like 80,000 people on the planet, or 80,000 people that have put a petition that Jeff Bezos should not come back from space because we should not be allowed to have billionaires in this world. So nobody should try to be really successful, right? Now, some billionaires give a lot of their money away. Mike Bloomberg gives a lot of his money to charity. So if he wasn't a billionaire, he wouldn't give a lot of his money to charity.
Still not going to back off my theory that most of them are bad guys, though.
Yeah, but you don't believe that people should be allowed to become a billionaire?
No. You definitely should be allowed to. I just feel like unless I can fully understand the route to which you got there, like Jay-Z and Beyonce, I get it. I totally get it. They started in music. They each were already close to $1 billion when you add up the money they made. Then you make a couple of smart investments. Boom, you're billionaires. The people, though, who like did it all through business, I have to admit, I'm just untrusting of it. Is it jealousy? Is it hate? Is it it's many things, but I think probably bad guy.
And probably jealousy, too. Anyway, we'll be back. Take more phone calls. Peter, when do you want to do this review? In the next segment, or you want to do it at ENN? Or not do it at all? You don't have to do it at all.
No, I'm doing it. I believe... Is the big fellow with us today?
I believe he is, yes.
I'm going to do it with the big fella. With the big fella here at 550. How about that?
That sounds good to me. Your phone call's next. Kayla Greco Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, tonight's Mets starting pitcher is brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. It's Marcus Stroman. Now, we usually give you the lineup, but strangely, it's still not out. We'll get it to you maybe in ENN, but that is tonight's Mets starting pitcher brought to you by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. It's always
the holdup can be.
I wonder what it is. Maybe they're wondering whether or not they'll start Conforto after bringing him up or activating him. Speaking of active, boy, Chris Carlin is active. I heard him on Barton Hahn and Carlin and everybody else on the air today. He was very good.
Ah, thank you.
6:30 takes over the airwaves here on 98.7. How you doing, Christopher?
I'm outstanding. I was even better earlier when I actually heard a Leonard Part 6 reference. Yes. Did that happen?
You don't get it every day.
You really don't, and for a good reason.
Wow.
Wow.
Congratulations to Jason Smith from Janesburg, New Jersey. He just won $250. Spend it well, Jason. Spend it. Have a good
well
time.
Well done. Well now, done.
Now, Christopher.
Michael.
Peter wants to do a book review while you're on.
Oh, great.
I thought you'd enjoy it as well, Chris.
So absolutely, I will. Yes. Have you finished the book yet?
I finished enough. Without any further ado,
I got the gist.
That's the beauty of the book. You can read it however you want. You don't have to read it in set order. You read the book how you want.
The idea is to finish it. You can go in any order you want, but
not really necessary. I would like to begin my official review of Michael Kay's Center Stage. Sometimes an author is more than a person who writes a story. Sometimes he or she takes us inside the soul of man. That is what Michael Kay has done with Center Stage, my most fascinating interviews from A-Rod to Jay-Z, Simon & Schuster publisher. I'm not the world's biggest reader, and I would not make time to read a biography solely about Bill Parcells or Sylvester Stallone, for example. However, when presented with the opportunity to learn about these American icons in short form through their own words, and the mindful guidance of Kay, I could not say no. Bill Russell, Red Auerbach, Andre Agassi, Serena, and the aforementioned Parcells and Stallone brought to life within the pages of this fine book. Each interview, edited down perfectly and prefaced with Kay's actual introduction from the guest appearance on the show, giving the reader enough information to appreciate each interview without any prior background necessary. Mike Tyson, a heavy subject, and one I've read about ad nauseum over the years, perfectly encapsulated in a few short pages. My only critique of the book? No pictures. I was hoping to find a series of photos from the actual interviews with Michael and his different looks over the years. Overall, I cannot recommend Center Stage more highly. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll emerge a better person. I give it 9 out of 10 peanuts.
Wow. That's high praise there, Chris.
It is. It is. Wow. 9 out of 10. Outstanding. Outstanding.
With the pictures, it would have been 10. Now, Michael, was there any conversation? You guys have to have a photographer during the show, no?
Every show has a photographer, but I think the book company didn't want to spend the money for the pictures.
Oh, come. That's a bad
outrageous
job.
Not all in?
What was that, Don?
Were they not all in?
Yeah, every little bit counts.
And when they get the sales records, they'll be all in.
That's
we'll
right.
We'll see a Center Stage Part 2 in a few months.
Don, don't you agree, though, right in the middle to have, like, the different, you know, black and white shots of Michael over the years would have been nice?
No, you just want me to be embarrassed by my blubberiness, you know, over the years.
Well, yeah, trying to guess what era it is based on your weight would be a fun game. But I was looking for the only picture in the entire book.
Is a great
is Michael in the back looking like he's hosting Jeopardy? That's the only thing.
You know, I couldn't tell you how much I enjoyed the interviews with Logan Paul and Fidel Castro.
Yeah.
I thought they were probably two of the best in the book.
So glad you made room for Paul.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Timely. You know what it is? You are a man of the day. That's what you are. And you make sure that every audience is served.
You know what, Chris? A lot of people thought that in 2005, when he interviewed a then 4-year-old Logan Paul,
yeah,
it was a weird choice. But look how it paid off.
Risky, but high reward. Can we agree with that?
I think
so.
Chris, what's on your mind today for your 6:30 show?
Let me tell you something. I think you've got this Gary Sanchez thing all wrong.
Wow. Oh,
really?
Yeah. I'm not going to scream and yell for him to play tonight when this is a guy that hasn't been a good player in 2 years. And what I would be saying at that point is he is more important to winning the game tonight than Gerrit Cole is, and that's ridiculous.
No, 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 no. First of all, I never was screaming about it. I said that it was going to be a thing, and it is.
But my point is,
for 3 weeks, he's been one of the best hitters in baseball.
Really, two?
No, it's 20 games. That's 3 weeks, Christopher.
Yeah, really. Look at the game log. It's really 2 weeks. It's really two.
It's really three. But I love you anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, we
have, month of June, he's hitting 315.
We have to say goodbye to Yes, but we're going to stay right here on 98.7.
Well, that's convenient, isn't it?
All right, so goodbye to Yes. So, yeah, I think the most important thing is to make Gerrit Cole comfortable. But then it begs the question, why can't Gerrit Cole be comfortable pitching to Gary Sanchez?
Well, shouldn't Gary Sanchez be the one answering that question? I mean, maybe well, it's just pitchers, that, I don't
other
know.
Other pitchers are comfortable with him.
Comfortable-ish. I mean, you know, you can't sit him out there every night. So I think you're at a point here with Gary Sanchez where I'm not going to jam him in because he's had a good couple of weeks. And it also speaks to bigger problems. The fact that I can't DH him because I can't play Stanton in the field because I have no roster flexibility. So there are all kinds of issues at work here. It's not just the fact that he's red hot and should be in the lineup. And by the way, and I know that Boone already addressed this, and I know that you did too, but where is it written in stone, especially after having two straight days off, that a catcher cannot go day game after a night game?
It's not written in stone, but it does give them an excuse.
What do you mean gives them an excuse?
To rest the guy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it gives them an excuse, sure, but I want to make sure that my ace, the guy I am paying all that money to, is going to give me his best. And if I'm weighing two things, if I'm weighing what Sanchez is going to bring offensively versus making my ace feel comfortable and making sure that I'm going to get the best out of him, that's not a contest.
I always love it when you weigh things.
Wow.
What? Completely what? Unnecessary.
No, what are you talking about?
You know what it is?
What?
It's cheap chicanery on your part. That's what it is.
Good for you.
You're
good
like you. Everybody Stand else. Up. You're like everybody else. That's fat right. Man makes a nice comment. Fat man makes a good point. Let's make fun of him for being fat.
Wow. First of all.
And by the way, you're forgetting your roots when you do that.
I am fat now.
Oh, shut up.
I am.
You're not fat anymore.
Oh, I am.
235 for being 6'9", 6'11" right. With the afro. I mean, come on.
Did you hear what High Pitch Eric said about Peter?
I did, and I was surprised by the Donnie Wahlberg answer.
Because you know how he loves Donnie Wahlberg.
I am aware of his affinity for
Wahlberg. Really loves Donnie Wahlberg.
Yes. Yes, I
am. So can we hear that one more time, Anthony?
Peter is not ugly.
Thank
Peter
you.
Is a good-looking man.
And Peter, to be clear, I always thought you were a good-looking man. I did not think that anybody was more physically appealing to High Pitch Eric than Donnie Wahlberg.
Now, for me to even be in
this
that
isn't Donnie Wahlberg in Sixth Sense because he was heinous in that.
No, this is Donnie Wahlberg in Blue Bloods.
And this is Donnie Wahlberg, husband of Jenny McCarthy.
Of Jenny McCarthy, yeah. Don has not checked in on the Stern Show in 20, 25 years.
Yeah, because High Pitch Eric is, I mean, there's no other way to put it. He's sexually attracted to Donnie Wahlberg.
Well, yeah, let me put it this way. I haven't listened to Stern in a good 3 or 4 years. And 4 years ago, the Donnie Wahlberg thing had been going on for years.
Yeah. And I actually was on the wrap-up show with Donnie Wahlberg and Jenny McCarthy at the Super Bowl 1 year.
Really?
I was. Yeah, she had blue hair at the time.
Hmm. Michael is such a mark for the Stern Show. I think he'd skip this show to do the wrap-up show.
And he should.
I would. I'm kind of friends with Gary, and I can't even go on the wrap-up show to plug the book. I'm shocked.
You Why can't? Not?
What do you mean?
No, they're not interested.
Come on.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's sad.
Wait. Hold on. What do you mean? Your publicist asked?
Yeah, and then I've, like, kind of hinted to Gary in an email, and there was no bite, so what am I going to do? I'm not going to beg.
No.
And you're still interested in this show?
No, I love the show. I think Howard Stern inspired the book.
You need to show some self-respect and never listen again.
How about this?
Well, Howard Stern doesn't know this.
You've done this for me. Can I do this for you?
What's that, bub?
You want me to make a call?
No. That's very kind of you, but no.
You're good.
This is Gil.
I'm good.
You're good.
You're good. Okay. Because I'll do it.
I've been in events like the one that Peter hosted for the North Shore Animal League. Talked to Gary for an hour.
Yeah. Gary's the best. Really
Gary's
good
a
dude.
Great guy. He's a great guy.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm stunned by it.
He's a great guy at chatting you up and being nice. Does he back it up?
Yeah, he backs it up. He's a nice guy.
Well, he's genuinely good guy.
Okay, but put your money where your mouth is and get Kay at least on the after show. Do you know the kind of yo-yos they've had on the after show?
It's called the what's it called again?
It's called the wrap up show.
The wrap up show.
This fat yo-yo over here has been on it and hosted it once. So yeah.
Oh my God,
you hosted the wrap up. Wow.
I did one time in place of John Hine, my good friend who used to do Loudmouth with me.
Oh, that's right.
They had Carlin host, Michael. They're one notch from walking into a homeless shelter and saying, does anybody speak English?
Can you believe
we can put you on the
Chris,
radio.
What he just said? Can you believe
it? I can believe it, Michael. What he you know just why? Said. Terrible
why?
Guy. One
he
of the
is
worst.
A terrible guy.
I'm done faking it with you, fat man.
Exactly. Exactly. You know that John Hine was almost Peter.
Is that true?
They brought, because the infinite wisdom of our leaders, they brought John Hine in. Right? Don could back me up on this. Sat him down next to us, didn't tell us it was a tryout. So I'm sitting there interviewing him about Howard Stern for 4 hours.
Right.
And then I'm sure John felt, well, I couldn't even show what sports I knew or anything like that because nobody told me it was a tryout. They were trying to slip a third person through us.
And that's how you got here.
And then we got here, I wouldn't hear of it.
Then we got Skippy.
See? Well, that's sad.
It was pretty sad, too, when you consider all the people that auditioned and failed because – they brought like too much sports to the table.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Like who auditioned and failed?
Let's go through some names. Over the top with their sports knowledge, and then Peter gets the gig.
Who auditioned and failed? Let's go through that.
Oh, we can't say that. No.
Oh, come on.
That would be like
Benny Agbayani.
Who are the three people that just missed out on Friends?
Let's Hospital.
But they were all on the air.
Yeah, everyone knows it happened. People could tweet and remember who it was.
Jesus, remember? Is that a new book? Tweet and remember.
It was
sounds like the follow-up to Center Stage.
I can give you the list right now.
Give us one, Don.
Unfortunately, I don't remember her first name, but Jennifer Lopez's sister.
Oh yeah,
Linda.
Linda Lopez.
Linda Lopez. Yeah,
formerly of Channel 11 fame.
Yeah,
that's J-Lo's sister.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
That
one is one I did not know.
She was actually much better than you. It's strange she didn't get it.
Really?
Yeah, she was good. Anyway, we're going to take a brief time out because we have to get to ENN. But, Chris, we can't wait for 6:30. I'll tell you that.
I appreciate that. And I
cannot believe the broadside swipe that he took at you, though.
Well, if you can't believe it, you're just not paying attention.
You know what? Good point.
Excellent.
Talk to you soon.
Yes.
Coming up, ENN on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.